I want you all to get your Bibles out, and I'd like for you to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, and I want us to read one verse as we begin this morning. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. It says this, and I'm reading from the Modern English Version. It says, "The fear of the Lord." I want you to say, "The fear of the Lord." "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I want you to say fools. Again, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And I want to speak with you for a few minutes this morning on the subject of fools. Fools. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would fill my mouth with your word. I ask that, Lord God, you would help me to relay to this, your people, what is on your heart. That, Lord, you would help me to express, Lord, what you have put upon my heart with your heart in a way that, Lord, we can easily entreat what you are saying. And so I ask that you would take distractions out of our minds and out of our hearts. And I pray that, Lord, you would speak to us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Take the words that I speak and you animate them. You make them life-giving, Lord. Hide the preacher behind your cross, Lord, and let Jesus be seen here alone. And so we give you this time, ask that you'd bless the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Solomon in the Old Testament, who wrote most of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, was the wisest man who ever lived. He was given wisdom, a wise and an understanding heart, at his own request. He was a very young boy, we can technically say, when he became the king of Israel. His father, King David, would soon die. And of course, as a result, Solomon would be the next king of Israel to lead that nation for the time that he would be their king. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure that if we were Solomon, we would have felt the same way that he did. He was a young man, a very young boy. He was probably in his later teens, early 20s, if that. And he was now given, in a sense, the reins of the whole kingdom of Israel. Literally millions of people to lead. And he's so young, he still doesn't really know how to go in and out among the people. He doesn't know how to lead in the way that I'm sure that he desired. And so one night the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him, "Solomon, you can ask from me anything that you want. Whatever it is that you ask for, I will give it to you." And Solomon, in his youth and yet in a very wise way, he didn't ask for things for himself. He didn't ask for wealth or riches. He didn't ask for honor. He didn't ask for a big house or for the prettiest wife. Instead, he asked for a wise and an understanding heart. He said, "Lord, I don't even know how to go in and out among the people. And how can I, being a youth, lead this vast people?" And so the Lord was pleased with his request, and the Lord said, "I will give you a wise and understanding heart, and I'm going to give you everything you didn't ask for." Solomon would receive wealth, prestige. He would be a man that would be looked to from all around the world. He was such an amazing figure. God gave him wisdom, and because of the wisdom that he had, many people sought Solomon to hear his wisdom. There was the queen from the south who came all the way from the uttermost parts of the earth, the New Testament would say, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And I'm sure she wasn't alone. I'm sure many people from all around the world heard of this wise king in Israel. And they came to receive from him wisdom. "Give us understanding. Help us to understand what is the wisest thing for us to have in our lives." And Solomon would relay to the people, as he started out in Proverbs chapter 1, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. He would tell them the fear of the Lord in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to have wisdom and you want to be a wise man, you're going to begin with having the fear of the Lord in your heart. Acknowledging that God is Almighty God and that we fear Him as our Lord. And we will do what He says and we will follow after Him because He is our God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It would declare as well as Psalm 111 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But then it goes on to mention those that are unwise and describes them as fools. It says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And remember, the despising isn't only for learning, but to be honest with you, is in essence despising the one that gives wisdom. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when a man or a woman seeks to want to find wisdom and tries to find it every other way than through the Lord Himself, they're really following an empty path. For the beginning of wisdom is in the fear of the Lord. The fool, as described here, is a person who acts unwisely. It's a person that is acting without wisdom, is not making wise decisions. It's amazing how there are people in this world that can go to school, they can graduate high school, continue with their education into undergraduate studies, into graduate studies, even into doctorate studies. And some of them can have degrees and yet can act so unwisely. You see, degrees don't give wisdom. Our wisdom will be found in a person, and that is through Jesus Christ, the living God. That's why you'll hear of some that have so many degrees, but yet will foolishly turn to drugs and alcohol, will turn and throw away their lives in destructive ways, and even though they have these degrees, those degrees aren't giving them wise decisions. Amen. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you see, it's when we fear God that we choose the decisions that are going to be in line with our God. Amen. Wisdom begins there. The fool is described in Merriam-Webster's dictionary as this: a person lacking in judgment or prudence. Lacking in judgment or prudence. The Erdman's Bible Dictionary describes it this way. In the Bible, foolishness is most often an ethical concept and goes beyond a lack of native intelligence. Although the fool might be one who acts boorishly, naively, or imprudently, he is more particularly one who lacks the wisdom which comes with the knowledge of God. Someone who in his pride is wise in his own eyes, but acts contrary to the will of God and thus does, intentionally or not, what is evil. His foolishness culminates in a denial of the existence of God. The fool reveals his lack of understanding through the wicked deeds which he perpetrates, and his lack of responsibility is evident in the misuse of what has been given to him. In the New Testament, the fool is one who refuses to recognize the truth of God as communicated through the life and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul charges the Corinthian Christians to become fools for Christ's sake, pursuing the ways of God, which in the eyes of the world appear to be pure folly. In essence, what this definition is saying is that unlike the definition from the regular dictionary, the unwise person, the fool, is really ultimately the one that begins to reject their knowledge of God and becomes wise in their own eyes. The Apostle Paul would describe some as ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's amazing the day and age that we live, and we would think that some of these individuals, some of these atheists, some of those that are trying to hijack our universities and try to permeate the university with the teaching that there is no God, that these individuals are highly educated individuals. They are learned men, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so the Bible describes these as fools. Fools. Another definition describes a fool, foolishness and folly terms, referring to a lack of wisdom. Since wisdom, however, has so many different connotations and nuances, there are numerous characteristics of a life of foolishness or folly. In general, a fool in the Bible is a person who lives life as if God and God's will were of no consequence. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. A fool can be recognized by various characteristics, lack of intelligence or experience, sometimes without being aware of it, an inability to be cautious in speech, or pursuing courses of conduct or action that ultimately prove to be harmful. Fools. And it's not hard for us to see so many fools around us. No, I'm not here to tell you to go and call them fools. The Bible also warns that if we say, thou fool, you're in danger of the judgment. And so we are not going to be those that are critical and call people fools. But we will acknowledge what the Bible describes as fools in a sermon like this. Amen? For the fool is the one that doesn't acknowledge God in their lives and tries to go through their lives without acknowledging God in any shape, form, or fashion. To be honest with you, they ignore God and act like He does not exist. And most of the time, the reason why they say God does not exist is because they don't want to submit to His will in their lives. They are at peace with their sin and sinfulness. They want to be at peace in their minds, a false peace, that all is okay, that they will not stand before the judgment bar of God. And so it's easier to say He doesn't exist, to try to let their conscience be numbed, that I can get away with whatever. But whenever we begin to acknowledge God and we begin to fear Him, we begin to realize that we will stand before Him one day and we need to be justified in His sight. And that will only happen through one individual. That's Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. I wanted to talk to you today about three fools. Three of those that are foolish in their generation. And number one, I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 14. You can also turn to 53 verse 1, whichever one you pick, it doesn't matter. They'll both say the identical words. But Psalm chapter 14 verse 1, as well as Psalm 53 verse 1, it says this, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, and they do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I want you to understand that this is not King David, the psalmist, saying they are fools. But to be honest with you, this is God Almighty saying it about people who will say that God does not exist. And when you think, like I said before, of the many atheists in our world today that will try to promote the teaching that of non-existence, they will say that we began through an evolutionary process by some happening that lightning flashed and kind of mixed the bubbling soup in a way that brought together the elements to create the first cell. And from that first living cell would eventually evolve into the living animals or whatever, and then eventually would create man. And yet, this theory is promoted as if to be true. It was interesting that recently one of my children came home from school taking an exam. And in the exam, it was asking the question, what is the person supposed to tell the other individual? Or to tell a teacher, is that how it came across? What is the teacher Just help me with it. How was it?
Like, what do you say to the person that doesn't believe in evolution? Is it like a scientist?
If a scientist that doesn't believe in evolution?
No, like...
What is a scientist supposed to tell those that don't believe in evolution? And so the answers that were there in bullet, or how do you say it, a multiple choice answers, none of those multiple choice answers gave any resemblance or any way to say that God exists or that it's okay to not believe in evolution, but rather evolution is true and every way to combat it is going to be through these different answers. You all kind of hear what I'm saying? And it's being promoted to our young people and to those in our school system, especially the public school system, that evolution is truth, and yet it's only a theory. It has no true factual evidence to promote the fact that it's real, because it isn't real. But it will be promoted because it's easier to believe, especially for those in sin and those that don't want to acknowledge God. It's easier to believe that we are just animals, just like the dog or the cat. So that when you get rid of a life, you're not getting rid of someone that is made in the image of God. You're not getting rid of someone that has high importance of worth. You're just another animal. You all get that? That's why abortion can proceed, because it's just a piece of flesh. There's no worth to it. That's why those that believe in these evolutionary theories are okay with euthanasia. Euthanasia is putting an old person to death early just because they're just wasteful eaters, really. They have no human worth. There's no human value. But when you understand that God created man in his image, we understand that humanity has worth. Humanity is on a different plane and sphere than the rest of the animate creation. Do you all hear what we're saying here? And so the fool begins to say there is no God. And again, the reason why is because they don't want to submit to God's law or God's will in their life. And so that individual that claims that God does not exist, the Bible classifies those as fools. The other fool that I want to look at is in Proverbs chapter 10. I want you to turn there real fast. There's another fool. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18. Look what it describes here. He who hides hatred has lying lips. He who hides hatred has lying lips. And he who spreads slander is a fool. The King James says it this way: he that hides hatred with lying lips, and he that utters a slander is a fool. And the scripture is describing an individual who is really hiding, really a hatred, an attitude of hate towards people or towards individuals, and they're covering it up with lies. They're in essence being very hypocritical. They are claiming maybe to show love, when in reality, internally, there's hate, and it's being covered up by lies. And then it says those that spread slander. Slander are words that are destructive. Words that come out of our mouths. James would describe our tongue as an unruly member of our bodies. How hard it is to tame our tongues. Out of that same mouth comes blessing towards God and cursing towards men. And the writer of the Proverbs here says clearly that he who hides hatred with lying lips and who spreads slander is a fool. The book of Proverbs would say life and death are in the power of the tongue. And the way that we talk, the words that we use, can be used to bring life or they can be used to bring death. But it's saying the fool is the one that tries to cover up their hatred with lying lips. And in reality, the only way for God to cure a hating heart is that we run to him and repent and ask God to deal with our hearts to be loving. Amen? But we must also pray, God, bring this tongue, this little member that is set on fire by the fires of hell almost, that God would help to tame this tongue, that we would never spread gossip or slander to hurt a brother, a sister, or anyone. For the Bible calls that individual a fool. Amen? A fool. Then thirdly, the last one we want to look at is in the Gospel of Luke. Turn to the Gospel of Luke in your New Testament. It's the third book of the New Testament in the beginning. Luke chapter 12. And I want you to see this fool. Luke chapter 12. I want us to begin reading with verse 13. We want to focus on verse 20. But Jesus tells us a story, a parable, about a rich fool. Verse 13 says, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" And then he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." That's wanting things that are other people's. To be covetous is like lust. You want it. You all hear that? We all know what lust means, right? Lust means you want that. That's lust. It's not just talking about sensual things. It's talking about when you want something really bad, it's lust. It's also called covetousness. And it says, Jesus is speaking, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." We've got to remember that. Amen? It's not about how much we have that's going to make us happier. It isn't. And he told a parable to them, saying, The land of a rich man produced plentifully. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have no room to store my crops." And then he said, "This I will do." This is the rich man thinking within his mind. "This I will do. I will pull down my barns, the old ones, and I will build greater ones. And there I will store all my grain, all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take rest, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Verse 20, "But God said to him, 'You fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This third fool is really a foolish man who thinks that all of his life consists of what he gets. This man, being a part of agriculture, a farmer, has his fields are producing. He's got plenty. I mean, the old barns aren't big enough. So he says, "I'm going to build bigger ones." And so much so, he's going to store up so much. He's going to say to himself, "Eat, drink, be merry. Enjoy all of this." But in all of that, there's no acknowledgement of God. And so in his mind, he thinks, "I'm going to be okay. Everything's going to be, going to continue as is. It's all going to be okay." But then God said to him, "You fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" In other words, we came into this world naked and we're going to leave naked. Amen? We came into this world without anything. We're leaving without it. And he's saying, who's it all going to be? You stored up so much. And yet it says, "So is he who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The scripture describes these fools, first of all, that don't want to acknowledge God, as a fool. It describes those that hide a hating heart with lying lips, and those that spread slander, talking behind people's backs to hurt them, as fools. But lastly, it describes the one that is unprepared with God. Their heart is not right with God, thinking that their life is going to just continue as is. And they're unprepared for eternity, rich in themselves but not rich toward God. He described that one as a fool as well. In essence, what that is saying is that those that are unprepared, those that are not getting their hearts right with God and are at peace with God in their lives, is really describing them as foolish. And I'm here to tell you that right now is the time that we must have our hearts right with God. Because the one that is at peace with God is a wise man. Because remember, the beginning of wisdom starts with having a fear of God. And to have a fear of God, there has to be the acknowledgement of His existence. And when there's an acknowledgement of His existence, the Bible says that God will reward those who will diligently seek Him. And so the Scripture is clear that there are fools all around us. But we must be a people that will live the gospel and help them to understand the truth of the gospel. For there are many other kinds of fools that the Scripture will declare, but we don't have the time to go through all of them. But I do want to just tell you that having a fear of the Lord in our hearts is really the way to go. Some would say, you're foolish for following after God. What do you mean you go to church at Center Assembly of God? What a fool. And yet, how do they say, when that finger's pointing at them, there's three fingers pointing back at you? You know, you've heard that before, right? To be honest with you, you are in the right way. And you are not a foolish person to follow after God. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says in the Scripture in Proverbs 2 verse 5, you shall understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God when we will put our trust in Him. It says in Proverbs 8 verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. It says the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Listen to that. In the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 14:26, is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Proverbs 14:27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 15:16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 15 verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that has it abides satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Proverbs 22 verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 23:17, it says this, last but not least, don't let your heart envy sinners, but you be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you, I, all of us that fear the Lord, we are on the path of wisdom when we acknowledge Him in our lives and choose the fear of God. But the fool is the one that says, God doesn't exist. I don't need to follow after Him. The fool is the one that really is lying hate in the heart with lying lips. And the fool is the one that does so much in this world to have so many things, but yet forgets about God and has no treasure in heaven. You see, when you give to the ministry and you give to those that are in need, the Bible says you're storing for yourselves treasure in heaven. Amen? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. And as the Scripture has said, the fool really turns away from wise instruction and knowledge. And so I wanted to speak to you about that. And however it spoke to you today, I'll let the Lord be the one that speaks to our hearts. Amen. Let's stand.